morning. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Carol Johnson. She is president of the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP, and Victoria Scott is program chair. Welcome to the Radio Cafe. Welcome. Well, it's allergy season, ladies and gentlemen. So the NAACP is traditionally African-American organization. What do you do here in Santa Fe?
Okay, Santa Fe is a very multicultural branch of the NAACP, and it's probably the way NAACP has been since it was formed 100 years ago. Basically, it was a multicultural, very diverse group who started the NAACP to address some of the issues that were facing black people at the time. But it's always been, and I think it's people question why it's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. I think it may have been a bit of even of kind of looking to the future that we are all people of color. You know, all people have some color. And basically looking for that all people have their own being and rights, and that we look at humanity as a whole. And until we are all whole, none of us are whole.
You do a lot of different kinds of programs in Santa Fe. You've got speakers and dinners and things like that.
Yeah, and I might let Victoria talk to that because she is program chair.
She's the program chair.
Hello, Mary Charlotte. We have meetings every month, the second Tuesday of every month at the Episcopal Church on San Mateo near St. Francis, which are all open to the public. And all like-minded people who want to support our principles are welcome and encouraged to come and join us. We have programs every month on varying subjects. This Tuesday, George Martin is going to talk about the truth and justice.
It's the World and U.S. Social Justice Forums.
Mm-hmm. There's one coming up in June that he's going to be attending. He's attended these for several years, and he's going to talk about that program. Then in May, Doris Fields, another one of our members, is going to talk about advanced health care directives, and so on throughout the year. So everyone within our hearing is invited to come. And
we'll give the website at the end and contact information and so on. One thing that you're doing, which is very interesting, is organizing a trip to Africa with the intention of both South Africa and, I think, Ghana.
Ghana is an optional add-on to the trip, yeah.
But South Africa is the bulk of the trip, and to look at apartheid 20 years later, or the post-apartheid South Africa 20 years later.
That's right. We want to examine what apartheid was, and then the main focus is going to be on the peaceful transition that South Africa accomplished from the apartheid regime to democratic rule. The country really teetered on the brink of a massive, bloody civil war. I think everybody who remembers those years in the 90s remembers watching the whole process and expecting that the country was just going to come apart, and it didn't. And the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was founded by President Mandela after he was elected played an important role in making that transition peaceful.
Who participated in the Truth and Reconciliation process, and what was the participation of each group like, each individual? How did it work?
Everybody in the country participated. They made a point of making that happen. You know, the country had been rigidly divided into racial and ethnic minorities, and each one had its own rules and regulations and privileges. And they set up commissions that studied the events that happened under apartheid, the system of apartheid, and then they invited people from all races and ethnic groups to come and bring basically complaints of people who had been victims of the system, and that included white people as well as Africans and people, colored people. And these were heard by the commission, and then a certain number of them were selected to be heard in open commissions throughout the country. The idea was, they entertained the idea of Nuremberg trials, Nuremberg-like trials. And they decided against that because they felt that putting people on trial was not going to open up the truth of what had happened, and that was considered paramount. So instead they came up with this alternative of the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions. And the idea was founded largely in an African value that in, I think, Zulu was called Ubuntu.
Right.
And that is a value that says that social harmony is paramount, and therefore that reconciliation and forgiveness is very highly valued. And that was the goal of the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions.
Forgiveness is a profound concept that is worth talking about in many social contexts. We have, obviously, within Christianity, there's a great deal of value put in forgiveness, and yet when you look at the culture in which we live, sometimes we don't practice it. I remember last year I did a show on 9/11, and somebody had made a piece that basically humanized Al-Qaeda, and I got some flack for it because it was considered a really bad idea to forgive Al-Qaeda. And I wonder, you know, to what extent do we live forgiveness here? To what extent is the South African culture different in the way that they kind of live their everyday lives around the value of forgiveness?
I think part of it is that interdependence. And the other thing about forgiveness is I think sometimes we feel, especially in our culture, we feel that forgiveness means forgetting. And forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness, we never forget what happened. But by finding out and getting the truth of what has happened, we can go beyond that. And hopefully we will not repeat it again. So to be able to put it out there. I mean, and the commission also had people come forth who were the perpetrators both on both sides of some of the violence. And it's almost cathartic too for people to be able to let loose of what they have done rather than to keep it inside on both sides, that the victims and the perpetrators have been able to almost release, not forget, but release it so that they can go forward and get to a better place.
I think that the goal of the commission was just the opposite of forgetting. One of the stated objectives was to enable people to tell the truth and put it into the public record, because they felt that so long as what had happened under apartheid was pushed down and repressed, that healing couldn't happen. And in fact, they felt that if these things were taken into a court of law, that people would be discouraged from telling the truth. But the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions, to the contrary, offered amnesty to people who would tell the truth, the whole truth.
So it's really the opposite of a court of law situation. If you had a court of law situation, if you told the whole truth, you'd spend the rest of your life in jail. Here, if you told the whole truth, you'd go free and have amnesty.
Potentially. Now, the conditions for amnesty were very rigorous, and there was a separate committee that just dealt with amnesty. It didn't come about easily, and there were not that many people who were granted amnesty. But that was the encouragement, the carrot, if you will, that was offered to the perpetrators to come forward and tell their stories.
So then the great question is, these people who came forward, told their stories, were granted amnesty, what did they then do? I mean, did this release and letting go transform their lives to where they planted tulips and were nice to everybody? I mean...
One of the things about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission is that it happened on an individual basis. It dealt with people's individual human stories. So each story is its own unique tale. One of the things that Desmond Tutu talked about in terms of the victims, because reparations was also a part of this picture. The victims were asked to say what they needed, to assist in their healing. And he said that often he was moved enormously by the modesty of their requests. People wanted to know where their relatives had been buried, and they wanted to be able to erect a stone in memory. That was it. That was what they asked for.
As opposed to money, land, animals, things like that.
Yeah. Now, it should be added, I think, that the issue of reparations is maybe one of the ones that is the least resolved under the system of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, because there, in theory, there was supposed to be a mechanism for financial reparations for people who had been who were judged to deserve them, and that system has really kind of been short-circuited. It hasn't happened like it was supposed to quite.
You've got multiple, as you mentioned, ethnic and racial groups in South Africa. You have the majority black population, which in itself is a ethnically mixed group, and you've got the English-speaking white and the Afrikaner. How do all these different groups, how did they interact with each other in the context of the Truth and Reconciliation?
Everybody was included. And people from every group came forward as victims of the apartheid system. One of the things that Bishop Tutu mentioned was one of his regrets was that there was not the extensive participation of the whites in South Africa that he would like to have seen, especially the Afrikaners. But they did participate, and they were encouraged to do so.
We're talking to Victoria Scott and Carol Johnson of the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP. So you take a trip of nice Santa Feans to South Africa. How do you look at this? Like, where do you go to actually observe the post-apartheid process?
We're going to start our trip in Johannesburg, and we want to visit the Constitutional Court in Johannesburg, which was built on the site of a former apartheid-era prison and now houses two museums, one devoted to Mahatma Gandhi, who actually originated his ideas about nonviolence during his early years in South Africa and his encounter with the sort of incipient apartheid rules and regulations. And another one devoted to Nelson Mandela and we'll hear from people in the present-day South African government. Now, our trip will also include a trip up to the north, to the northeast, where we'll visit. We'll go on a game drive, and we'll do the things that people need to do when they visit Southern Africa,
like see exotic animals that you don't see here.
Exactly, see exotic animals. We're going to have a good time as well. We're going to go to a nationwide craft fair in Mpumalanga, which is a pretty rural area. Then we're going to go down to Cape Town, and we'll visit Robben Island, which is where Nelson Mandela was incarcerated for 27 years. It's now a national monument. You see the cell, the tiny little barred room where he lived and lived for those 27 years.
It's amazing that he lived in this little cell for 27 years, because what I read about that time in his life is that he was consistently kind and considerate toward his jailers.
People have speculated that maybe that 27 years in a perverse kind of way enabled him to do what he did once he became the leader of the nation.
Yeah.
And that included the Truth and Reconciliation process.
Yeah, to be removed, and you know, sometimes we just have to, I truly believe, be removed from all the stuff around us. I mean, some of the monastics, you know, that you cannot come to some place where you can see what truth is unless you are kind of away from all the glamour of daily life. And I truly believe, too, that that might be why he was able to, Nelson Mandela, was able to kind of come to this, I mean, just a place where you could be that forgiving and that gentle. And I, in viewing the movie Invictus, I think that was showed how, you know, he had so much foresight, and to look at, and had opposition on all sides, but to be able to transcend that.
It's an amazing thing to be able to forgive and to lead.
I think that, if I remember rightly, his jailer was an honored guest at his inauguration.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was a transformative thing for anybody whose job was to be the jailer of another person and to be cruel toward them, and then have that person to whom you're being cruel not return the sentiment. I mean, but anyway, much to talk about. So you're also going optionally, for those who might want to go on this trip, to Ghana. What's happening there?
Well, Ghana was the first black African country to gain independence from colonialism. I've spent a lot of time in Ghana, because I lived in Nigeria for 10 years, and Ghana was where we used to go to sort of decompress from the intensity of Nigeria. It's a deeply cultured country, completely different historically and culturally from South Africa, with a very different history. And Africa is such an enormous and diverse continent. We decided that to have the option of experiencing the other side of the story, the other side of the continent, would be a good conclusion to the journey.
Now, both countries also known for their incredible music and dance. Are you going to include that in your trip?
Oh, you bet. Yes, yes. And one thing that I'm trying to add to the itinerary now is a play that's just opening in Cape Town. That will be dealing with the apartheid experience. So we want to look at traditional culture, contemporary culture, and the political system and the changes that have taken place.
Victoria Scott, what were you doing in Nigeria for 10 years?
My former husband was the first professor of psychology at the University of Lagos, and I'm an art historian by training, so I was very much involved with the art scene in Nigeria. It was a lucky time to be there because there were a lot of amazing things happening in the 70s in Nigeria.
And so you became an importer of African art?
Yes, African art and textiles. And until a couple of years ago, I had a gallery here in Santa Fe, and then I closed the gallery, and I'm collecting Social Security and looking after my grandbaby. But I wanted to make at least one more trip home to Africa.
Right. So when is all this going to happen?
We leave in the end of August, and we'll be in South Africa for 2 weeks, another week in Ghana, the first 3 weeks in September. People who are interested in joining us, the trip is open to non-members of the NAACP. It's going to be a very interesting, diverse group of fellow travelers. You can check the website or you can phone me for further information. Can I give my number?
Yes, you may.
Here in Santa Fe, 986-9143. That's 986-9143.
And if people want to find out more information about the NAACP, the website is NAACPSFNM. That's for Santa Fe, New Mexico. So it's NAACPSFNM.blogspot.com. Carol Johnson is the president of the Santa Fe branch of the NAACP. Victoria Scott is the program chair. And the if people want to come to meetings or just find out more, they can go to the website or call Victoria. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a break right now, and Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the education reporter for the Santa Fe New Mexican, part of the Pasatiempo, and Rob DeWalt is joining us today, too. He is also with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and at least one of them is with us here just about every week. Speaking of the arts, welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, gentlemen, who are you talking to?
I'll take the gentleman.
What gives us the fine privilege of having two Roberts from the Pasatiempo on the air today?
I don't know. You know, I know. I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be with you on the 23rd, and I got my dates confused. And I said, hey, you know, I'll be at the radio show tomorrow. And Robert
Most
was like,
excellent.
Well, you don't have to, but yeah, go ahead. So, well, that and selfish reasons. Both of my dogs have birthdays this weekend, so I wanted to be on the air and wish them.
You celebrate dog birthdays?
Yes, we do.
What are their names?
Birthdays. Venus will be 4, and Pasquale will be 7.
Nice.
Venus, if you will.
So, yeah, so happy Venus birthday to my dogs.
Happy birthday to the dogs. My dog, Honey, had a birthday this in
How old
in,
is Honey?
She's 11.
Wow.
Patterson, she was 1. She's a good dog. She doesn't act like an 11-year-old. She's
did
a
you
well
lease her by?
She's a well-preserved matron. she escaped captivity from the people who used to live next door.
Oh, good.
And she adopted
good.
Me.
Yep, that's how we got our Rottweiler Pasquale, too.
Yep. So, what's happening this weekend and this week?
There's all kinds of great stuff happening. There's one of the things that I'm really excited about is happening on Tuesday at Collected Works Bookstore, Deborah Madison.
Yes, we're going to have her on the air on Tuesday morning.
Oh. She is going to be signing copies of her new book, Seasonal Fruit Desserts from Orchard Farm and Market, at 6 p.m. at Collected Works Bookstore. And I talked to her about the book last week and wrote about it in the food column on Wednesday. And she's just a great gal. She's inspired me since the 90s when I started cooking professionally, and she's a local treasure.
You're a professional cook?
I was a professional cook for 18 years, a chef for 7, and a restaurant consultant for 2.
That's right. I knew that. You were a man of many gifts.
Started down this crazy road.
So a wonderful and beautiful book about desserts.
Gorgeous pictures, mouth-watering recipes, really easy to follow.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that we have such a short growing season in northern New Mexico, but there's tons of great fruit out there at the markets.
Indeed.
So.
And this is the last weekend of 2 different plays. The Baton Project is happening at the College of Santa Fe.
That's
and
correct.
Time Enough at Warehouse 21.
That's right. Sacred Mistakes, the Baton Project, is running tonight at 8, Saturday at 8, and Sunday at 2 at the Greer Garson Theater over there at the College of Santa Fe campus. You can call us 473-6511 for ticket information.
The word of mouth on that's been very good.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from anybody who's seen Time Enough yet, but it's directed by Clara Seister, who's pretty talented. And
I went to the rehearsals of both of them, and they were both very good. And as we know, and as we talked about on this program, the lead actor in Time Enough, who plays a dying man in the play, died a couple of days before the opening of the play, and they brought in a new actor. It was a very poignant. He was a wonderful actor and a wonderful person, and a great loss to Santa Fe.
Yeah.
There's also a new play opening up, Dead Man's Cell Phone.
Dead Man's Cell Phone, yes.
Yeah, opening tonight at the Santa Fe Playhouse, Sarah Rule's comedy. We have a preview story in today's paper by Michael Wade Simpson, who's a really good writer, good theater writer. And I think the premise is pretty well known. A woman answers the phone at the nearby table, and it turns out to be a dead man's cell phone. And she's launched into espionage, car chases, dun, incredible dun, dun, sexual adventures. I mean, well, maybe not. I don't know. I should have read the play before. But anyway, Catherine Donnelly.
Is it noirish?
It's a comedy by Sarah Rule. She's a really smart playwright.
It sounds like something you would have written.
No, I wrote, what the hell did I write last year?
You're working on something else.
Wasn't it Dead Man's Jest something last year?
Dead Man's Jest.
I mean, and then there was the Theater Grotesco, Richest Dead Man Alive. A lot of dead men in titles.
Isn't it classic music, or classic rock and 80s music?
What about it?
They're on Saturday, DJ Una.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. DJ Donna Early is spinning dance faves from the 60s to the 80s.
That's like the best dance music.
Yeah. And they're doing it from 7 to 10 p.m. on Saturday out at the new Mike's Music Exchange in El Dorado.
No, I haven't been there. What's that like?
It's an interesting space. They get a lot of acts that normally you would think would play in Santa Fe out there in El Dorado now. It's kind of a burgeoning scene.
Is it a good dance place?
Yeah.
Because there's like not many good dance places in Santa Fe anymore.
No, there's no good dance floors. There's plenty of places to dance, but there's no real...
It's still fun to dance at El Farol on their tiny little dance
tiny,
floor.
Tiny, ditto La Fonda. El Dorado's a little better.
The Sweeney La Fonda, that's not so small. La Fonda, yeah, it's small, but not that small.
But yeah, so this is tomorrow night, 7 to 10. You got to pay to get in, 466-2782. Retro rock and roll dance. That sounds great.
It's a benefit to support El Dorado teen activities. So
good, that's always good.
It's a dance with a good cause. So that's good.
Do the teens consider dancing a teen activity?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, teens are into dancing.
Sure.
Did you dance as a teen?
Of course.
Wow. How about you?
When I was a teen? Oh, yeah. I made a fool of myself. I showed up at my first day of school at Santa Fe Prep as a freshman wearing my breakdancing outfit.
And what year was this, 2004?
1982.
Oh. Yeah. Up in Newburgh, New York, we used to have a band called Big Etzel, and they played 50s and 60s music. My older sister took me out and taught me how to dance to that kind of music. And she said, if you can learn how to dance as a straight guy, you are going to attract women like crazy.
Yep. Did it work?
I attracted quite a few women who were crazy. I mean, crazy about me.
I don't dance anymore. So I just kind of bob my head up and down. It hurts less in the morning.
Like those little turtle figures with the head that moves you can put on your dashboard?
Yeah, the bobbleheads.
Yeah.
That's kind of how when you get into your 40s, a lot of people, that's how they dance.
Let's hope not. Okay, what else is happening this weekend and this coming week?
Well, on Wednesday, we've got Standing in the Doorway, Teachings and Stories of the Turtle Island Liars Club. Already I'm interested. Christopher Teuton, T-E-U-T-O-N, talks at noon at the School for Advanced Research Boardroom. It's free, 954-7203. So it's a noon chat free about Teachings and Stories of the Turtle Island Liars Club. Now, I'd like to know, A, what is Turtle Island?
Turtle Island is North America.
You mean we live in Turtle Island?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a North American continent.
I didn't like that.
We're islanders.
I didn't know that. Oh, that must explain the tortoise color eyes you got there. And then what's the Liar's Club?
A lot.
Is that like where you get up and lie and people have to figure out if you tell them the truth or not?
That I don't know.
How did it get the title Turtle's Island? Oh, silence, I see. But once I caught you on something.
I'm not going there. There's a great show on that's opening tonight at 8 Modern. It's called The Perfect Machine. It's collage, mixed media and collage by Lance Letcher. There's a reception at 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Shows up through May 15th. There's a story on page 32 in Positempo written by moi. Santa Fe Complex also tonight. Number 12, Memory and Identity, a group show of experimental videos which is part of the Manipulated Image series. There's going to be a musical accompaniment by guitarist Brooks Williams tonight. That's at 7:30 to 9:30. There's a suggested donation. You can call 216-7562 for more info on that.
You know what? I have to say I made an error. Turtle Island, I thought it was, it's a Native American concept. I thought it was for just the North American continent, but according to this little site that I'm looking at, it's Mother Earth herself.
So there you go. So this is probably a sociopolitical talk and not something about a bunch of people that live on Turtle Island off the Galapagos and tell lies.
Well, it's also a fact that there's a Turtle Island, Queensland, a Turtle Island in Snowshoe Lake, Ontario. There's a group of Turtle Islands in the southern Philippines. There's a Turtle Islands National Park in Malaysia, and the list goes on.
Wouldn't it be nice to live on Sarong Island?
Can you say more about that?
Well, there'd be like 200 women and me, and they'd all wear sarongs, and I'd do my best to get them out of it. It would be a wonderful life. Hopefully there'd be a bartender to make me some Mai Tais.
And you could say, if this is sarong, I don't want to be right.
Oh, I like that. That's really good coming out of you. That's nice.
All right, what movie is that from?
No, that's a friend of mine. I went to Bali last year, and a friend of mine came up with that, and I've been laughing about it ever since. Speaking of Bali, it's actually an interesting week. We had Armando Espinosa and Craig Johnson on talking about the tour to Oaxaca, cultural tour to Oaxaca, and we just had the folks from the NAACP on talking about a political and cultural and wildlife tour to South Africa and Ghana. And I got a letter from the Bali Art Project saying that the trip to Bali, they do an annual trip to Bali called the Bali Art Project, and it's centered around bringing 8 high school juniors from the Santa Fe area to Bali to have a cultural experience, but they also bring adults along, and 2 of the adults have had to drop out. So if there are any adults who would like to go to Bali, and I went last year for 1 month, they should call Xenia or Galen at 988-7209.
Nice.
Or they can mail baliartproject@earthlink.net.
Let's do some Bali on the music events tonight. Jerry Carthy at Amavi, 7 o'clock, no cover. 3 Faces of Jazz at Chispa at El Mason, 8 o'clock, no cover. Cowgirl has John Courage and the Damn Band doing Country Soul at 9. There is a cover charge. Savor, Cuban music, 6 o'clock at the Dragon Room, Pink Adobe.
Nice. You know where I heard Savor last weekend?
Where?
Alamosa, Colorado. They played up there.
And you just happened to be there?
I just happened to be there. It was so funny. We walk into this place, and there's Victor from Savor.
That's so strange. There was a bartender in my grandfather's hometown of Cold Spring, New York. He couldn't stand my grandfather because my grandfather always came in and gave him grief and drank and didn't pay his bill. During World War II, this bartender got a job on some, like, isolated island, in the South Pacific. And my grandfather got on a merchant marine ship. It was sunk, and he made his way to the island and walked into the bar. The bartender was, like, about to kill himself because this guy found him. It's a great family story, and you're both staring at me like,
chasing
okay.
him around the earth. There's some more Irish music going on this week. There's County Kerry fiddler Paddy Jones, one of the last living masters of the traditional music of Ireland's... I'm not even going to try and pronounce that region. the concert is at
County
8 p.m.
Kerry?
No. It's a Silab... I'm not even going to try and pronounce it.
No problem.
But the concert is at 8 p.m. Tonight at Oddfellows Hall, 1125 Sirius Road. Tickets are available at the door. Call 820-3535 for more details on that. There's another show that I'm really excited about. Seattle-based industrial electro act Assemblage 23 is going to be playing
That's the Corazon show.
Corazon, yeah, at 9 p.m. on Monday, April 5th. Doors open at 8. They're going to be joined by an act from Melbourne, Australia called Angel Theory and a Costa Rican electro duo called Sibel. And it's
Angel
a 21
Theory.
And over show.
Sibel,
nice.
well, you're the one. I'm
and on Tuesday, April 6th at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Universalist Church, the Sierra Club is presenting a Santa Fe County Commissioner Forum. I know this has nothing to do with the arts, but Bill Dupuy, news director of KSFR, will be moderating a forum for the candidates for Santa Fe County Commission,
great.
Focus on topics including development of green jobs, energy strategy, water issues, and land development. So once again, Tuesday, April 6th at 7 at the Unitarian Church.
Good. Pick up the Passatempo for the book reviews. It includes Richard Ellis's On Thin Ice, The Changing World of Polar Bears, which I suspect is not good news. Good review by Susan Meadows. And my review of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which I swear I didn't write. I mean, I wrote the review, but not the book. It's by Seth Graham Smith, and in which Abe Lincoln turns out to be a vampire killer. Also, while we're talking about book talks, if you're a fan of Warren Oates, a terrific character actor, there's an equally terrific biography of him by Susan Campo, a University of Southern California
lecturer. Have you read
lecturer.
It?
I read it and reviewed it last year. I love Warren Oates, crazy life. And she's going to be here talking about Warren Oates in the book at 7 o'clock Thursday in the community room of the main branch of the Santa Fe Public Library, 145 Washington Avenue. Call 955-6791. More importantly, pay attention to the book pages in Pasta Tiempo, whether you like them or don't, disagree or don't, because they've turned into a really good review page. And Jill Batson has a piece in today's Pasta on a new book on The Boy Who Would Be Shakespeare, A Tale of Forgery and Folly by Doug Stewart, who I do not believe is the Santa Fe Doug Stewart playwright. I think it's a different Doug Stewart.
Now, on Thursday of next week, Thursday, April 8th at 7 o'clock, the Vista Grande Public Library monthly author talk presents Santa Fe photographer Ford Robbins. And he will discuss and show photographs and sign copies of his new book, Connections. And that is all free. It's open to the public. For more information, you can call 466-7323 or go to vglibrary.org.
Let's do some classical music stuff, because
sure.
We don't do enough of that here.
Yes, let's.
Adam Neiman is going to be doing some shtick on 7:30 Thursday in the St. Francis Auditorium, probably playing the piano and stuff. Santa Fe Concert Association piece, and we have a nice piece on him in today's Pasta Tiempo. If you like that kind of thing, you got to pay to get in. Call the Lenzic, 988-1234, and again, it's 7:30 Thursday.
There's Santa Fe Pro Musica's Baroque Ensemble. Baroque Holy Week featuring soprano Catherine Mueller, music of Bach and Handel at 8 p.m. at the Loreto Chapel on Friday. You can get tickets at the Lenzic box office, called 988-1234. You can also get them at the Santa Fe Pro Musica box office. Call them at 988-4640.
What's the story on Lance Schlesser, your story? I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, this guy's wonderful. He studied with... Well, he's an Austin-based artist, but he worked for Amado Pena, who's a fairly celebrated Southwestern artist who has ties to Nambe, who had a studio in Austin, and Lance worked with him for about 11 years before, I guess even in art studios there's downsizing. But he started out as a sculptor, and he does this wonderful collage work. A lot of his earlier work is very pattern-oriented, but now he's gone off and written himself a children's book. And after he did a mural for a children's hospital in Texas, it kind of inspired him to sort of gear his work towards a more juvenile audience. And while he was putting those works together, he sort of got inspired by some of the work that he was doing, and a story came out of it, and he decided to make a children's book out of it. So a lot of the work that's going to be on display at the exhibit is most of his newer works. It's a little more colorful, it's a little less structured, but it's you can look at it and you can see how much work goes into each piece. It's amazing work.
Great. And it's the cover story of today's Pasta.
Yeah,
and there's a reception tonight?
There's a reception tonight, yes, from 5:30 to 7:30 at 8 Modern.
Let's talk movies for a minute. Clash of the Titans, the remake. Mythological monsters chasing people. I love that stuff. When I was a kid, I used to watch The Seven Voyage of Sinbad and all those characters. Cyclops, dragon that got out of the cave and ate that one guy. That stuff was great. So Clash of the Titans is like a new 3D version.
You go back and watch the old Clash of the Titans, and it looks, I mean, it's so, the stop motion photography that they did, it looks so bad.
No, I love that stuff. I'd rather have that than this stuff today.
I do too. That's why I don't want to go and see the new movie, because I don't want to, A, be disappointed by the new movie, but B, I don't want it to sway how I think about the old movie.
Well, the old movie had Ursula Andress already.
You can't live in the past, Rob.
Is this your pen?
Oh, yes, I can.
All right.
Oh, he got his pen back. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo opens at the screen. I haven't seen it yet. Jonathan Richards gave it a decent review. The Sun opens at CCA Cinematheque. Bob Benzer gave it a decent review. And still playing around town is Crazy Heart at the Regal de Vargas. Chloe, a sexual thriller that I thought was very disappointing, despite having a very nice lesbian scene between Julianne Moore and Amanda Seyfried. And The Green Zone and The Hurt Locker, which are both pretty... Hurt Locker is a dynamic picture. That's at Regal North. And the new Miley Cyrus picture opens this weekend. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, her breakout role.
And that's probably just as well. Why is it her breakout role?
Because
she breaks out in acne.
No. I mean, this is supposed to be her first sort of serious part. It's not getting very good reviews.
Yikes.
So on April 7th of next week, at the Photo Eye Salon, it's the first Wednesday photography salon at Photo Eye Gallery at 376 A Garcia Street here in Santa Fe. They will be presenting artists Jason Jacks, Brendan Soder, and Alexandra Huddleston. And so they have a salon, obviously, the first Wednesday of every month, so check it out at Photo Eye. PhotoEye.com.
There was something that I remembered that I wanted to talk about, but I don't have the information in front of me. The Santa Fe Farmers Market has changed its hours. April, they begin a different set of hours, and I'm not sure what they are. But maybe we could pull it up. I don't know. On the old computer.
Okay, I'll pull it up on the
old computer.
But
in the meantime, I'll tell you what else to do in town. D Numbers is having a CD release party at 8 p.m. on Saturday. At Moving People Dance, which is a different sort of venue for this kind of thing. These guys, I wrote about them in my Soundwave column, put out a great second album called Onda, and it's all over the map. Jazz, electro, funk, rock balladry. It's instrumental, but it's really good stuff. They're local yokels, and they're having this show at 8 p.m. on Saturday. You can call 438-9180 for more information.
Hey, what time is it?
It is 8:51, and the Santa Fe Farmers Market is open every Saturday in the rail yard from 8 o'clock in the morning until noon.
That's right. It's
I don't
they
get up that early.
Hours, yeah.
The other night I went home, and there was like nothing on TV about Sasquatch or no ghost shows where they try to find ghosts, you know, those things?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So
Monster
I pulled out a DVD called White Comanche, and it had William Shatner before he did Star Trek, and he plays twin brothers. He's a gunfighter, but he's also the White Comanche.
I've seen that.
And the gunfighter keeps getting mistaken for the White Comanche, and then people chase him. It's a terrible, terrible movie with jazz music. I watched the whole thing. It's got a nude bathing scene with a beautiful actress, and you don't even get to see her nude. And I was thinking they stole it all from Comedy of Errors.
Did? But there's nothing better.
It's a Western remake of Comedy of Errors.
Yeah, that's true. It's a Shakespearean. There's nothing better than William Shatner singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah.
And for those few of our listeners who may not have heard of this cultural phenomenon, you can look it up on YouTube.
You can YouTube it? Can you see him performing it?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure you can at least hear the audio.
Spock YouTube video you sent me where he's singing a song with all those little girls.
Oh, that's the tale of Bilbo Baggins. YouTube it. But William Shatner got his start in Shakespearean theater. That's how he got his start.
No wonder he did the movie then about the twins.
Yeah.
All confused.
Yeah, it all comes together. I got a note from the Blue Rain Gallery that they are having an opening tonight featuring new paintings by Northern New Mexico painter Jim Fogel. And the show is entitled Roadrunners to Woodcutters and 5 to 7. And, of course, on Friday nights, there's a lot of Blue Rain Galleries at 130 Lincoln Avenue. There's a lot of openings every Friday night from 5 to 7.
This week especially.
Yesterday I went out to El Dorado Community School to do a story on K through 8. And the principal took me to various classes to talk to the kids. And one of the little kids pointed at the principal and said to me, "He punched Jesus." And I looked at him and he said, "It's a long story. I was overseas and there was a guy named Jesus and we got into an argument." It's just funny. I mean, it's just for a kid to say that.
Oh, tonight at Gig on 1808 Second Street.
Tampa, yeah.
Ella Cantor and Matt Brewer will be playing. Guitarist, vocalist, and composer Ella Cantor and bassist and composer Matt Brewer.
Here's something that's happening out of town, but a lot of people might be interested in. Arlo Guthrie and his band are going to be in concert at 8 p.m. on Saturday, April 3rd, at the Journal Theater at the National Hispanic Cultural Center.
Now Arlo Guthrie?
Good morning, Arlo
Guthrie. Our same Arlo Guthrie who we listen to every Thanksgiving the day before playing Alice's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a tradition?
It's an annual tradition. I forgot to do it one year, but almost every year I've played Alice's Restaurant on the day before Thanksgiving and then talked to Stacey Pearl about Thanksgiving dinner.
When I was living in Athens, Greece, I went to some grimy bar one night in the spring in the early 80s, and some American folk singer who like was on some tour they got mislaid or waylaid in Athens, Greece, was stuck playing in a local bar for like, you know, drachmas, which is what the euros were in those days. He was playing Arlo Guthrie songs. And I felt sorry for him. He was just standing, and like all these Greeks were staring at him. I thought he was good.
Trash disco continues in Santa Fe. This thing has been around forever. DJ Una spins disco and house music beginning at 8:30 p.m., ending at midnight at the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe on Saturday night.
Excellent.
Who's the artist behind you, Mary Charlotte?
I don't know.
Can we see a name?
Nope.
Nope. And Oil on Paper?
There's some Oil on Paper works down here at the Santa Fe Banking Company.
They're nice.
They are, but I don't see any artist name. Okay, so it was great having you guys on. I hope you come back next week.
Hey, you know what? I was watching the, I was watching cable the other night. A couple of nights ago, they had a Marx Brothers movie marathon from six in the evening until like five in the morning.
Where was I, and what did you? Which ones did you see?
Well, I didn't. Unfortunately, I had to read a book, so I couldn't. I was just watching.
Wait, you turned on the TV for the Marx Brothers. What were you reading, Karl Marx?
No, I was reading. I was the two events were unrelated. I happened to turn on the TV because I'd been watching South Park or something, and I looked at what was coming up on TCM, and it was a whole entire night of Marx Brothers movies.
But you didn't watch them.
Well, I watched a few minutes of
TiVo them?
Animal Crackers. I don't have a TiVo, but I watched a few minutes of Animal Crackers and of Day at the Races, and it was they're great. And I thought of you because you and Groucho are exactly the same
people
person.
People say that about me all the time, but I don't see that. But people always say it's like Groucho Marx, but I don't. It must be my voice and my New York inflection.
Everything with the bank account.
Well, one of the things that
I've got no bank account.
The guy who comes on in between the movies came on, and he was talking about how when the Marx Brothers moved to Los Angeles, they all responded to it really differently. Zeppo and his wife became big socialites. Harpo was very happy and spent time with his family, and Groucho was really pessimistic and always just lived in small, modest, rented apartments because he thought the whole thing was just going to crash and burn at any moment and that they wouldn't have a long career, even though they did.
And Chico kept on chasing women and gambling away all his money, just
exactly.
Like he did on the East Coast.
Yeah.
He's the one that I already said was like the sweetest guy. And there's a funny story about him. When he died, they asked the rabbi to say he was the least malicious man that ever lived. But the rabbi said he was the least mischievous man that ever lived. And Harpo turned to his brother Groucho at that funeral and said, when I die, hire a mime to do the service.
That's messed up. Well, gentlemen, it's just about time to go.
Well, Robert, it's good doing this.
Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt are with the Pasa Tiempo and the Santa Fe New Mexican.
We certainly are.
And it's great to have you both here. I'm just delighted that neither of you gave me a hard time.
Great to be here. No, I had a good time, too.
Yeah. Come back together anytime. And there will be one Friday in the near future.
The inference here is that because he's here, it watered down my giving you a
hard time. I thought you were gonna gang up on
her,
me.
Yeah,
why
it's
happened
because it's happened.
Always tell me you two gang up on me when you're there.
That's true. We didn't do that either.
No.
Every time you get a third person, it's usually two against one.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
See that?
My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org.
Let's tickle her.
We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Stop it. And you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe.
Let's kiss her.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Thanks to Bill Dupuis and Dan Garrity for the amazing news that they bring to us every single day. Thanks to Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt with their mumblings. What were you just mumbling about?
We were just doing antics.
And thanks to you for your antics.
Yeah, and thanks for your uncle.
Thanks for having us.
I like him too.
And we will see you tomorrow. Have a nice day. So what are you guys doing this weekend?
Well, birthday party for the dogs, of course.
Of course.
No, we're not,
what are
we're
you
not,
making them?
We're
liver?
Not, we're
liver
not doing that. We're just going to take them out to
cake?
The country. No, they're not allowed to have anything that looks like people food. They, you know, every once in a while they get a little grease on their food, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But
my
no,
dogs
I'm going
love
to this
anchovy
Lance
oil.
Show.
What?
Anchovy oil?
Anchovy oil, yeah. You eat the anchovies, then you give them the oil, they love it. Anyway, where are you going to?
I'm going to the Lance Letcher show tonight. And then I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'm going to try and go out and see some live music this weekend.
I'm going to watch Victor Mature movies on Easter. And in the interim, I'm waiting for my beautiful dog to get out of surgery. That's what I'm saying.
I don't even have Easter plans.
Do you have Easter plans? This morning.
Yes, I'm going out to dinner with my beautiful mother.
Nice.
Hasta la vista, everybody.
Bye.
Ciao. Ooh.